What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
And I am Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode 15, and it's a special one because it's our Halloween episode. Yeah, man. For you guys that don't know, we actually record these a few days before we release them on Mondays. So we're right between when Halloween is. It's Friday night. When this comes out, Halloween would have already happened. But yeah, we hope you guys enjoy it. We have a few little things that kind of tie into it, but more than not, it's just an average episode for us. How was your week, buddy?
It was good, man. It was just a normal, regular week. Me and the fiance are trying to get wedding stuff planned, but other than that, just kind of same old. How about you?
Yeah, man. Pretty normal week. Did a lot of work. Same old, same old. Have any big plans for Halloween coming up?
You know, we're probably just going to stay in. I don't know. We just got so much with this wedding stuff, and she works all the time, and I work all the time, so it's just a good time to just kind of plan stuff, you know? I know that sounds really shitty and boring, but it's got to be done. But how about you, dude? Are you going to a party?
Yeah, we got some friends who live a little bit out of town, probably like an hour drive. Yeah, I'm going to go hang out there. They have a little Halloween party every year, so I'll probably go see them. Nothing too big, though. I'll probably try to get home not too late. So, yeah.
Nice, man. Sounds like fun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you going to reveal to our listeners what your costume is?
Oh, man. I don't have one picked out yet.
No, you don't?
I was thinking about going as...
A vagina? A big vagina?
Yeah, absolutely. Possibly. I mean, I'd have to borrow your costume, but...
Oh, God. Witty. Yeah. We got witty. A witty guy over here.
Witty.
Ugh. Bar well, your, let your me know. Idea. I want to... We're all going to be wondering next week what you ended up being.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Me and my wife always try to come up with something before we go, so... We'll see, man. Yeah. Nothing for you? You guys are going to dress up at home by yourselves?
No.
Yeah?
No, we're just going to chill. Chill out, man. Eat a bunch of candy.
You're like being super adult and super childish at the same time. It's great.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, we're too old to go to a party, but we're just going to stay home and eat candy, you know?
I'm just going to get in my Batman jammies and call it a night.
Just going to watch Charlie Brown's Giant Pumpkin and eat some candy.
Giant Pumpkin?
I don't know what it's called.
It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Oh, sorry to offend you.
Jeez. Well, it's kind of a classic. How do you not know the fucking name?
I don't watch it because I'm an adult.
No, whatever. Oh, we're doing a podcast called 5280 Nerd. I don't know if that classifies as an adult thing to do.
That's a good point, I guess. Now that you've insulted everybody that listens to our show.
Yeah.
Let's go into the show now. So, follow up. For last week, we kind of stopped doing like a rundown of what we talked about last week a little while ago because it was kind of boring, but we only wanted to dedicate a portion of our show to things that are follow-up to what we talked about. And last week we talked about Star Wars The Force Awakens. Obviously everybody's talking about it. Some follow-up to it was that we talked about the trailer that came out, and then you were able to buy tickets. And within 24 hours, it broke the record for pre-sales and tickets, which is crazy.
Yeah, not surprising, though. Not surprising at all. So the record was more than 6.5 million for U.S. screenings. So
yeah, the previous record was something like, I think it was like 5 million. And then this broke 6.5 million in 24 hours at just IMAX theaters. So that's not including all the other theaters. That's just IMAX theaters. So obviously, again, reiterating how big this movie really is going to be. So.
Yeah, Disney's probably just like, they're all falling for it. Rubbing their greedy little hands, because that's how it's going to make. We should have a prediction. You should guess how much you think it's going to make. And I should have a guess.
Oh, man.
We don't have to do it right now, but I'm just saying that would be fun.
Yeah,
to see who was the closest when it's all said and done for like global sales of just the movie.
Yeah, I'm down. It's going to be astronomical numbers, though. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. I know a lot of our listeners probably got their tickets already. I know Sean got his already. I'm still trying to find a theater that has it and isn't going to be, like, not enjoyable opening night. But good luck with that, right? So, I don't know. I'll try to get my tickets soon. But, yeah, well, let's jump in, Sean. This segment of 2 cents, I just have a little review. Tomb Raider was on Games with Gold last month for Xbox One on the Xbox Marketplace. Played it and beat it, and it was a phenomenal game. It was pretty much like Xbox was like, hey, Drake's Unfortune, for the PlayStation 4, their version of kind of Tomb Raider, Uncharted, that's what it's called. There's a game for PlayStation 4 called Drake's Uncharted. It's a very popular franchise for the PlayStation. I feel like they definitely mimicked that for the Xbox. But it's good. I mean, it's a great game. There's a lot of interactive, like, you're running up a hill from somebody, so you pull the left trigger, right trigger type thing, and you're wiggling the joystick to get your foot away from somebody. And it you walk into these action sequences that are interactive. Drake's was on the PlayStation, had a huge gameplay devoted to that kind of style, and so does Tomb Raider. It was great. The gameplay was fun. Square Enix did a great job with the third person shooting. It was very smooth. Weapons were cool. You could upgrade your weapons and customize them. You had customizable suits for Lara Croft. The story was pretty interesting. I gotta say, Sean, I was telling you before the show, it's pretty dark. It's very violent and pretty dark. So I think they definitely wanted to shock people and be like, this isn't what you're expecting from a Tomb Raider game. So you're playing and you're like, oh my god, that's horrible, but yeah. Awesome at the same time. So
this is the 2013 initial release, right?
And then correct.
They re-released it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
I downloaded it and I didn't get a chance to play it yet, but I grew up playing Tomb Raider for sure. Like high school playing it on the PlayStation and PlayStation 2. And, always enjoyed it. That was a great game. So
yeah. No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Took me about, I want to say like 10 hours to beat. It wasn't that long of a game, but definitely if you want to keep playing it, there's more content. You can go find little pieces of puzzles and stuff and go through the game. But yeah, Sean, I thought it was a lot of fun. I'd recommend it if you did happen to download that at the Xbox Market when it was free for Games with Gold. I definitely recommend going through it. It was a lot of fun. Something to just kind of dink around in, you know? So
yeah, nice, man. A lot of game companies are doing that now, like before big releases, especially in, you know, sequels or prequels or you know, in lines of games that they're releasing older titles just to kind of get people back into it or remind them what they're missing.
Yeah, no, Metal Gear Solid did that with Metal Gear Zeroes before the full game came out, which was cool. I liked that. So
and I know like Fallout's talked about doing it and Mass Effect and
yeah, I think they should. I mean that trilogy for Mass Effect, I'm still waiting for it. I want to go through those games again. But Sean, I got to say it makes me really want to play the new Tomb Raider while that storyline is fresh in my mind. So well done for their marketing because definitely got me hooked and I want to play the new one now. So
yeah, Rise of the Tomb Raider comes out November 10th, I think.
Yep. In November.
So, yeah, man. Just around the corner. Definitely want to check that out, too. I think that'll be a real fun game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. So I just want to share with our listeners, check it out. It's a good game.
All right, well, let's dive into the news. We've got a few topics we wanted to cover this week. The first one, some sad news. Mythbusters on television is going away. It's been on for a long time, and it's I guess it's ran its course. Ratings are down. Discovery last month announced that it would be going off air. So, yeah, man. I haven't watched the show in a little while, and probably part of the reason why it's going off air. But, yeah, man, I used to love that show. I thought it was really interesting. And anytime I've ever found myself flipping through channels and I land on it, it's always really good, really good television. So
yeah, no, I agree. I think it's great content. It's a good show. But yeah, I understand why it's getting canceled. I mean, a show couldn't have went forever. I mean, there's only so many, the premise gets old, you know? So I understand. I'm not a diehard fan of this show, but it is fun. It's cool. Like they did like the Indiana Jones myths. I like the movie myths that they did. Those were my favorite.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. They did some really cool stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of sad, but I understand it's not one of those shows that can last forever. So it had a good run. So
yeah, they said, it was 14 years. It's been on, for 248 episodes. And in that time they did 2,950 experiments. So
it's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. That's a ton of work. And, yeah, a lot of cool stuff, man. I feel like anytime like there's like a trivia question, people, it's like their default answer is like, oh no, yeah, like you could use a cell phone at a gas pump. It's like I saw it on MythBusters.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. I feel like they educated a whole generation of people, so which is really cool. Which I'm sure they're really proud of, and I'm sure both of those guys will have a lot of success. Whatever they do, and I know they do a lot of stuff for movies and stuff like that, so
yeah. Yeah, good for them. They had a great run. They'll still be playing the reruns of MythBusters till I'm 80 years old. So it's not.
Yeah,
really...
and I think they have a full season left before it's off air. So
yeah, it'll still be on TV. But Discovery's still going to play the hell out of it. So
yeah, 14 years worth of content's a ton. So.
Yeah. Well, next up in the news, we have Star Wars Battlefront expected to ship 13 million copies. This was pretty baffling, Sean. I knew that it got a lot of buzz from the beta, but 13 million right off the bat—that's a big number. So
yeah, big time. They initially projected that it was going to be around 9 to 10 million, and just recently upped it. I think a lot had to do with seeing the response that the ticket sales for the new movie went crazy. You know, everything's selling out. A lot of hype's building towards it.
You're talking about copies, you mean, for the game?
What's that?
Star Wars Battlefront? Expected to ship not the movie, the game.
I know, but I think they because ticket sales for Force Awakens were so high.
Oh. And
just the popularity of Star Wars is at such a peak. I think that's why they raised it. Once they saw that, you know, it was already breaking numbers for the movie that's coming out, which I think the game comes out right after the movie, pretty much, right?
It's in November where it comes out.
So it's right before. And then December's the movie, so...
Yeah, sorry, I was confused there. Yeah, the movie definitely is boosting the sales, but what I think really boosts the sales was the beta.
I totally agree.
I think that once people played it and they knew that they were going to refine it and the servers were going to be better, they thought, this is going to be a big game. And I'm sure the pre-orders went through the roof, too, after that beta. But yeah, the ticket sales for sure helped with it, but pretty crazy.
Well, I think the beta broke a whole bunch of records, too, right? Like, I mean, it was
for
like
EA.
Definitely the most... Yeah, it was the most played game for that month, I think. And then...
It was EA's biggest beta ever.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. I mean, EA's been making games for a very long time and is part of a lot of big titles, so...
Yeah. And me and you have talked about it. We're very excited about this. Very excited about this game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see the finished product and all the things that they changed after the beta. But yeah, this is definitely the game I've been waiting to just sink my teeth into and play a bunch online. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Cannot wait. It's like, yeah, it's going to be a crazy month, man. From November getting to play this game, it's just going to build up even more anticipation to see the movie. So definitely can't wait, man. I think it's going to be fun. Yeah. Like you said last week, the hype is definitely real. So
yeah, it's Star Wars is oversaturated much.
Yeah, I can't imagine how many kids are probably going as like Star Wars characters this year.
Oh, for Halloween? Yeah, not even mentioning Halloween. Man, Disney cashed in, dude. They've already made their money back. It's just crazy.
I had to go to the grocery store today real quick, and like they have the big Halloween aisle, and there was so much like Star Wars stuff that was in the Halloween aisle, like Halloween R2-D2 and like little Snickers shaped like, you know, whatever, like all these things, like everything was like, it was like not Halloween, it was just
yeah, because people know that it's the candy bars and all these people, they know that Star Wars sells, and it does.
Yeah, totally, man. I can't imagine how many Star Wars birthday parties are going to happen this year. And like,
I know,
it's
right?
It's going to be crazy, man. Especially after the movie comes out, it's going to even get crazier for a little bit. So,
well, my birthday's in December, Sean, so if you want to get me some Star Wars paper plates and cups.
Nice, buddy. Well, mine's January, so.
Well, hey.
I want balloons, streamers.
I'll return the favor if you will.
Yeah. Sounds good, man.
So, all right, moving right along. New Batman solo film. Rumors that the Joker, Red Hood, and more are headed to Gotham. Sean, you want to take this one away?
Yeah, so some rumors are starting to fly about... So obviously we have Batman vs. Superman is coming out, I think in like March, March-ish. And we've already heard that Ben Affleck is... He has a trilogy of Batman films coming out after Batman vs. Superman. Possibly he's going to do some directing in those films as well. So there's a lot of buildup going to those. From what I hear and the rumors going around, they're talking a lot about adding a lot of characters and themes from a lot of the comic books that have been out lately. They talk a lot about Batman vs. Superman's Batman is kind of... very much like a Frank Miller Batman, which I agree with, which is probably my favorite Batman. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely the suit is directly taken from Frank Miller, like the Batman symbol. Exactly. Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about that.
And then they said that the new movie, his first solo film, is going to be kind of more tied into The Death in the Family, which is a great book, and Under the Hood, which is also another phenomenal book. Yeah, just a ton of like... For Batman enthusiasts, lovers, nerds, whatever you want to call us, just the thought of all the stuff that they're talking about is amazing. Supposedly there's going to be like references to Nightwing in Batman versus Superman, and then in the solo film they're going to talk more into that, which is going to be crazy for sure. First Robin, Dick Grayson, they're going to talk a lot about. So, yeah, man, I don't even know what's going to happen. Again, these are all just rumors, but if half of it's true, it makes me even more excited to see these movies. So,
yeah, I mean, as we've talked about before, my top hero besides Batman is definitely Dick Grayson. He's just a very interesting, unique character. I find his character to be interesting because he's the closest thing to Batman. And still, he's not even close to being good enough. But out of all the Robins, Damian Wayne, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, all of the Robins, Dick Grayson is still king. And I think, you know, even when Bruce Wayne died, he took over the cowl. And he was the only one worthy enough in battle for the cowl to wear Batman's cowl. I'm really excited to see him done in a movie, Sean, as well as Jason Todd. I can't imagine what Jared Leto, his involvement, because the Joker killed Jason Todd, and Jason Todd was resurrected through the Lazarus Pit with Ra's al Ghul. But yeah, I mean, I would love for Jared Leto to. I mean, there's so many casting opportunities. There's so many. Great storylines. I mean, they could really go anywhere with it. You know, they don't have to even stick super close to it. There's just, it's never been done before. That part of the universe with Jason Todd and Dick Grayson and all them really hasn't been touched before in a professional movie. So that makes me really excited, Sean. I don't know about you.
Yeah, super excited, man. I mean, what a beautiful time we live in that, you know, we have a show like Gotham that's out, that's getting through a lot of smaller characters and villains that we haven't seen before in like movies or TV shows. And then we have all these great movies that are coming out. So yeah, man, it's a super exciting time, man. Both of us, our favorite superheroes, Batman, hands down, and to see like all the cool stuff that's going along with it. I'm pretty confident. I mean, I feel like from what I've seen and heard, I think Ben Affleck's going to do a great job. So yeah, man, I cannot wait for all of this to come out.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting. Like I said, the thing that pissed me off with Christopher Nolan's trilogy, you know, it ended with The Dark Knight Rises, and they kind of allude to Joseph Gordon-Levitt being, you know, Robin, and you're like, well, why are they even alluding to this? This isn't going to bleed into any other Batman film, because that was Christopher Nolan's thing, and now that, you know, Zack Snyder's taken over the reins, you know, I don't think they're going to cast Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I don't think that's going to tie in at all, because they're kind of two different universes, so... But the thing is, Joseph Gordon-Levitt would be like the best Dick Grayson ever, don't you think? Like,
oh, he would be perfect.
He would be perfect. Nightwing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they still could cast him very well. I mean, there's no reason why they can't. You know, he never really...
You don't think that it would kind of mix between the universes of like Christian Bale, you know, and then, I don't know. I don't know if they could.
I think they could get away with it pretty easily. I think they could... I feel like the films are going to be so different from each other, just from what we've seen so far in leading up to Batman versus Superman, that I think it'll be such a different feel you won't even recognize, like, the similarities. And, I mean, Batman has been done so many different ways, and you know, the core of him's always been the same, but we've seen him a million different ways, so I don't think there'd be an issue with him playing... Especially because we never actually saw it. Like, it alluded to it,
right,
but we never saw it.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. That's what's so frustrating. It's like, if they alluded to it, I don't know if fans would be upset about, like, oh, that's a different universe. You can't bring just... I hope that he does get casted. I think he's a great actor, and I think he'd be perfect. And, you know, Christopher Nolan obviously is great at casting, because I felt like Christian Bale was a great Batman, and Heath Ledger was a great Joker, and, you know, Bane done by Tom Hardy... was a great casting as well. So, I mean, he was very good with his casting, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt would be the perfect Nightwing, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
You know, honestly, that would even fit into its timeline, to be honest. Like, he doesn't become Nightwing until after Batman retires anyways, and the whole point of the last Nolan Batman was he was retiring.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like...
If you picked it up where he was Nightwing, he had retired or whatever... you just miss a few years where he was Robin. But that's where they're going to start anyway. So, yeah, man. I don't know who they'd cast outside of him, because he would be perfect for it. So,
agreed. Very exciting. And also, just a quick little thing while we're on Batman. I know Gotham, the show, they casted that guy from House of Cards, Nathan Darrow, as the new Mr. Freeze in its second season, and I thought I should mention that, because he's a good actor, and that's a good villain. So I got to get caught up on Gotham, man. I haven't even touched season two yet. So
yeah, I started in on it. I started watching season two of Gotham and The Flash, and dude, like, I wasn't a huge fan of The Flash, to be honest. And the last 2 weeks I caught up, and the last, like, I want to say 4 episodes of The Flash made me a believer. Of season one, man. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it gets really, really good towards the end.
The episode that I loved was with Mark Hamill when he played the trickster. And he was like in that cell. I really liked that. I thought Mark Hamill did a really good job. And he was this creepy guy. And I enjoyed that. Like I said, it always goes back to the villain always makes the hero that much better. So.
Well, yeah, keep watching, man, because... Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but it gets really, really good.
Yeah, no, for sure. I got to catch up, but I just thought we should mention, give a little shout out to Gotham. That sounds like a good casting. So
yeah, absolutely. So we got Fallout 4's Nuka-Cola Quantum to be sold at Target.
Yeah, so this I wanted to mention this because I love Fallout 4. Fallout 3 was a great game, and I'm excited to dig into Fallout 4. But you know Jones Soda, right, Sean? It's a pretty big distributor throughout the United States. They have really good cream soda, really good like root beer, just bunch of different flavors. So they're the ones actually making this Fallout Nuka Cola. So I thought that was really cool. I always felt like the merchandising of Fallout is really cool. Just like, you know, it's like this old timey, like 40s black and white kind of, you know, like, I just always loved it. And I was like, I'm going to go to Target and I'm going to buy 7 packs of Jones Soda and gonna drink it all. I thought it was really cool. So if you're a big Fallout fan, head out, to Target. November 10th is when they're going to start selling it. So
nice. Yeah, that's really cool, man. That's always like such smart marketing, man. When you pull in like things that people don't normally see, you know, like to partner with Jones and make a something that's like part of the game, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. I mean, they should do that more with video games. Like, I'm trying to think of another example, but I know in Call of Duty, the zombie mode, there was like a soda that you could drink too, to like power up. And, I think it's fun.
Juggernog?
Yeah. So if they did like an eggnog called Juggernog and it was like the.
Totally, man.
That'd be cool, right?
Yeah. And there's a million examples of that. So yeah, definitely get on it, game designers. Stop being lazy pieces of crap and.
Yeah.
Put some thought into it. We're not just going to eat it up every time, guys. You got to. Take us to dinner first. Take us to a movie.
Yeah. Got to schmooze us a little bit. I want the lobster.
The lobster. Yeah. We appreciate stuff like that. And that's really cool, man. I'm definitely going to pick up some too because I think that would be just fun.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Okay. Well, so we've talked about Nintendo and how they want to move to the mobile gaming world and they want to get be more prevalent with games on your phone. And they did announce that they have a new, they're officially announced their first mobile game. It's called Miitomo. So Nintendo has announced Miitomo, the company's first entry into the smartphone gaming market. The Mi refers to Nintendo players' avatars, which anyone who's had a Wii knows that those little people that you make, while the Tomo is Japanese for friend. So according to the Wall Street Journal, Miitomo is a social networking game that helps shy people break the ice and reveal things about themselves. Players who open up in the game will be tasked with creating a Mii and answering some questions. They'll communicate with other Miis based on those answers. I heard this. At first I read it. I was like, oh, cool. They announced their first mobile game. I started reading about it. I was like, this is stupid.
Oh, my gosh. Nintendo, out of all the things that you have in your
property
library,
rights, yeah, rights to
the
like
first
Mario.
Thing you do is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the stupidest shit ever. It's like, why didn't you make if you made a Mario game? If you made just like if you put Mario Maker on your phone, which it could totally handle, people you would sell millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. Everyone would have Mario Maker on their phone. Like, that's what I was hoping that they were going to do.
Anything with any other character than the stupid avatar crap that no one cares about.
It's so stupid. In my opinion, I think it's a huge misstep. Yeah, and this talks about their new CEO, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know if this was in the works for a long time. I couldn't imagine how it could be because the Miis are, like, not really cutting-edge technology, if you want to. They're very simple. I mean, I don't know. I felt like this was a disappointment.
And it didn't even come out like they announced it. And then they were like, oh, wait, hold on. And then they had to like re-announce it for a later date because they weren't ready.
For this steaming pile of social networking with your Miis. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you're not prevalent in the console world, Nintendo. You aren't even considered in the console war anymore. So why are you releasing this app that's pretty much pertaining to console owners of the Wii U? Like, you know what I mean? That just doesn't make sense. I don't know.
All they had to do is take a ROM of Super Mario Brothers 3 and put it on my damn iPhone, and I would have bought it for $10. And they would have sold like a billion units of it in the first week.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, you can break your phone and get that shit for free on your phone, but
I would still gladly pay $10 for it.
Exactly. It'd probably be a lot more smoother and run quicker and better on your phone if you bought the actual app. But it's like, that's a huge market they're missing out on. That nostalgia thing they still, we've talked about, is so prevalent in everybody. It blows my mind, dude, that this is what they're doing. But if you are interested in it and you hate, and you're like, Mike and Sean are fucking idiots, blah, blah, blah. Well,
fuck you guys. I love bees.
Well, we would love for you to tell us on Twitter. So hit us up on Twitter. But just so you know, it is a free app. It's a free-to-play app. It's not going to cost you anything as of right now. That's what they've said. And it's expected to launch by March 2016.
Yeah, and the only thing I can think is, you know, maybe it's saving grace is that it's entry level into it. And so that's building a framework that they're going to add games onto it, which would be fine. And I get, and that would be fun. But yeah, man, for such a long wait, and this is what you come out of the gate with.
Well, yeah, even the Pokemon game thing I thought was really cool, where you, it's almost like, have you ever heard of geocaching, Sean? Where you like go and that's pretty much what that Pokemon game was. You go around in the real world to find these Pokemon, and I thought that was a great idea. I mean, that was Nintendo using their head, using their properties smart, and knowing that there's a huge market for that, and in America as well, not just Japan. It was very, very frustrating. So I guess we'll just see what's next, but what a misstep.
Yeah. Yeah, not a huge success there, Nintendo. All right, well, after that disappointing bit of news, we're moving on. Jared Leto interview with Empire Magazine.
Yep.
That sounds pretty interesting. Yeah. Why don't you tell me about that?
Yeah, so I read the shit out of this article because this was the first time that Jared Leto had actually come formally to somebody in the media and be interviewed about his role as a Joker in the Suicide Squad. They ended up releasing a bunch more pictures of people in the movie, the cast, and more pictures of him and Harley Quinn, like her being his psychiatrist and he's in a straitjacket, and they just released a lot more cool photos from the movie. And so Jared Leto was talking, and you know, they're asking, you know, how was it, you know, turning into the Joker? And he said there was definitely a period of detachment. The actor tells us he immersed himself in the Suicide Squad. You know, he said he took a pretty big dive. That's what Jared Leto said. And to me, just those two quotes by themselves, Sean, like, he took a period of detachment and he took a deep dive that was really dark. And I think it's going to be an incredible, incredible movie, man. I just don't see how Jared Leto, I think he took this role very seriously, like the serious that he's ever taken any role ever. I think he really took this on and knew what the challenge would be to make this new, to make this fresh. And I genuinely believe, without just seeing what I've seen, I know that he's a success. I can't wait to see this movie.
He's a great actor, man. I mean, he's always been a method actor. And if you look at any of his roles, he commits pretty hard, and he doesn't take just any role, you know. I mean, he's definitely qualified to take easier roles, but he's played transvestites and people dying of AIDS and like drug addicts and all these crazy roles that he's taken. To take this on, you know, I think is, they picked a good guy, you know, to try to very dive into something that I feel like you'd have to method act and really become to pull off. It was a really good choice on their part.
Yeah. And we had talked about, I don't know if it was last week, I think it was 2 weeks ago, how he had confronted, Grant Morrison, the great Grant Morrison. I think that he took a huge page out of Grant Morrison's Joker and what Grant Morrison's advice was to him. And, it's incredible. Another quote, let me find something here. He was asked, you know, how dark does a Joker get? And he just said, he's scary. But he, you know, asked again, he, you know, he said this role is transcendent. It's going to be something that's going to be recognized not as a superhero movie. It's going to be recognized as these human beings that are villains being used by the government. You know, I don't think it's going to come off as like superhero-y. Yeah, Ben Affleck's in it and he has a Batman cameo, whatever. I genuinely think, Sean, like Academy Awards and stuff, like Oscars and stuff, like superhero movies have never been recognized as like cinema art. Do you know what I mean? Like it, like yeah, a drama. It sure hasn't ever been recognized like that. And I think Jared Leto wants to make it that. I think he wants it to be like, you know, this isn't, forget it's, you know, this is the Joker, whatever. Like his performance is really raw at its core. And I think people are going to be like, wow, that, I forgot it was even the Joker, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like he's going to change the role. Yeah. I'm still not crazy about the look that they went with this Joker, but
different. That's for sure.
It's very, very different, but you know, he said, I don't have it, the quote exactly right in front of me, but he said something like, you know, we had to break new ground. So that means, you know, changing everything from the ground up. And that makes sense because he doesn't want to just mimic Heath Ledger's Joker.
For sure. But I mean, it's a lot of it's taken from The Killing Joke. I mean, a lot. His photos that have come out are from The Killing Joke.
Except the tattoos. Style. That's the only thing.
The tattoos is different. That's a little more modern. But I think that fits into like the theme of the movie, like the setting of the movie. From what I've seen, all of them kind of have that feel. From Harley Quinn to all the other characters that are in it. So
he also called this Joker. This Joker was a businessman. I don't know what that means, but
yeah, I don't really see that.
I don't see that in the previews, but we haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, and for sure.
Jack Nicholson's Joker, I see as definitely a gangster, a businessman. And then, but for Jared Leto to say that, it made me like, oh, well, we've only seen literally 10 seconds of him as the Joker in the trailer.
Sure. And Heath Ledger's, I think his wanted to be a businessman, but he was clearly insane.
He was an anarchist. He was a thought-provoking movement.
Some people just see the world burn, so.
Yeah. I think Heath Ledger's was an anarchist. He was somebody who's trying to change the way villains think, you know, change the way the world thinks in his mind. And Jared Leto, I think his Joker is going to be more like, I think just straight up crazy, not trying to instill any insider ideology to anybody. I think he's just going to be evil, but just raw evil. And that's what I'm excited to see, because that really hasn't been done before. We have the gangster, we have the anarchist.
Well, in movies, that hasn't been done yet, for sure.
That's what I'm talking about, cinematic universe, yeah.
No, I'm excited. I think it's going to be... I think he's going to do good. Again, I was pretty skeptical at first, and he's really, as it's kind of developed and morphed, I think it's going to be really good, man. So anytime somebody puts themselves into a role that much or into anything they do, you know, it's going to produce something great. So
yeah, it's an interesting interview. I'll try to link something in the show notes if I can. But go pick up that Empire mag. He's on the cover. They did a bunch of different covers with like Killer Croc and Deathshot and Harley Quinn and all them. But pick up the one with the cover of Jared Leto. It's actually a pretty cool pictures that they have in that magazine. So, all right. So moving right along, next on the docket, we have Matthew McConaughey. So back in May, Sean, we knew that Matthew McConaughey, he revealed that he was given scripts by both Marvel and DC. For roles that he didn't specify. Well, it came out just recently. It was reported that Matthew McConaughey turned down the lead villain role in Marvel's upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And what, before we dive into this, did you like the first Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, that was amazing.
I completely agree. It was a great
probably
movie.
Probably one of the better movies of last year, or this year, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
No, it was phenomenal, I thought. It was a different comic book movie that we haven't seen before, and it was still in the same ride. It's just as good as any other comic book movie that's been out. And yeah, man, it was obviously a hit. So
yeah, no, I was, and he turned down because the second one's going to be huge. Chris Pratt and
for sure. Well, he's too busy making Buick commercials.
Yeah, they're so horrible. I like Matthew McConaughey. I think he's a great actor.
He's hit or miss for me, but
yeah, no, he's made
done
some
great stuff though. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
He's made some shitty chick flick movies, but I think he's a good actor, and I think that he would be a good casting for a villain in a Marvel film or a villain for you know who I thought he'd be? I thought he'd be a good Lex Luthor. But
yeah, I guess I could see that.
I don't know. I think. I was shocked that he turned this down, but then everyone's speculating now. You know, back in May, he said he had Marvel and DC scripts that he was reviewing. So he turned down the Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, you know, he hasn't said anything about the DC script or what he was even offered. Or so now there's all this speculation. Is he coming into the DC universe? What is he going to be involved with? The biggest question, Sean, on the forums that I've read and kind of the buzz that I've gathered from the internet is the biggest character that is missing from the Justice League is Green Lantern. That has not been casted yet.
Gosh, he'd be a terrible Green Lantern.
Right. I
hope that's not the case.
I don't know if he'd be. I don't know how I feel about it yet. But I'm just saying that's the biggest character that hasn't been casted for.
They haven't casted the... They haven't casted Flash for the movie universe.
Yeah, I thought that they did.
They?
Yeah, he was that guy. I remember the podcast vividly. You were trying to describe the guy that was casted as a Flash in the cinematic universe. You're like, yeah, he's in this movie where it's like a tsunami and he's trying to save his family. And
no, that's Spider-Man. That's a kid who's playing Spider-Man.
I thought you were talking about the...
No.
Anyway. No, I'm about 99% sure that they have casted the Flash already. He's nobody I've heard of, maybe. But yeah, no, I don't know how I feel about Matthew McConaughey being the Green Lantern. Hal Jordan, I picture as a fighter pilot type looking guy who
not
has
a
an attitude.
Pilot's dad.
What's that?
Not a fighter pilot's dad.
Yeah, I mean.
He's getting up there in years, man.
He is. He is. And it could be totally not Green Lantern. He could be playing a villain or whatever, but that's just the buzz because...
He'd make a good Martian Manhunter.
Hey, there you go. That would be a great role.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Yeah, no, yeah, DC needs to consult you first.
Do I see Matthew McConaughey. No, they already picked up that... Oh, what's that kid's name? That huge Samoan dude that's playing like Aquaman.
Oh, from Game of Thrones, yeah.
Yeah. Momoa or whatever his name is.
Samoa, Momoa. Rock's brother.
Yeah, man. It'd just be funny to see him standing next to like Matthew McConaughey.
That's a good idea, man. I mean, and if you think of Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, Bradley Cooper did Rocket Raccoon, and that was totally animated. And it worked 100%. Like, I'm sure... They wouldn't have to fully animate Martian the Manhunter, but he is a very mysterious, very, like, I'm sure there'd be a lot of CGI used for him, so.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's a great casting, Sean. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I think you'd fit that role pretty well.
I agree. Better than Green Lantern.
Yeah, I don't see him as Green Lantern. He could even do, like, an older Green Arrow. He's kind of got like
Oliver
that.
Queen kind of blonde yeah. look, yeah.
Like kind of an older rich guy,
yeah.
Kind of feel driving his Buick up and
yeah, yeah. You're right. I mean, those are two good roles. I mean, either way, I think whatever role he played, whether it be a villain or a hero, I think he'd be a great addition to the DCU. So. I'll keep my fingers crossed, man, hoping that he is casted in some role, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's crazy he would turn down. Maybe he just doesn't want to play a villain. I get that.
Or maybe he just didn't like the script. Maybe the script
yeah,
wasn't there.
Or it conflicted with something else he was shooting or whatever, you know? He might have already had commitments to some other movie he wants to make, and you can't just back out on people. So, yeah, no, we'll... Best of luck to you, wherever you go, Matthew McConaughey.
So, we'll keep an ear to the ground.
All right,
all right. All right, all right,
all right. Well, that brings us to our Q&A section. This is where we're going to get a little more into the Halloween part of our show. Yeah, so I wrote down a few questions related to Halloween. I know Mike is not a huge fan of Halloween, but so what was, like, first question, what was your favorite Halloween costume? So, like, growing up, what was the thing that you were, like, the costume you got and you wore it, like, for, like, a year after you got it?
I don't know. I always did something different every year. I know that my favorite... This is so dumb. I dressed as a tiger one year, and it was really cool, and I remember being this tiger. So I was, like, 5 years old, 6 years old, and, yeah. My favorite costume I ever was a tiger. I know.
That's a
tiger, I looked like Hobbs from Calvin and Hobbes. I had, like, this long tail. It was dope.
Nice, man. It was, like, the one that you wore, like, for months after Halloween.
I wore it for a while, yeah. Yeah, I wore it for a while. But what about you?
When I was a kid, my mom, who's, like, she's, like, super crafty and, like, just really good at, like, sewing and all that stuff, she made me, like, a Batman costume that was, like, the coolest Batman costume I'd ever seen in my life. So... yeah, it was amazing. Like, perfect in every way. Made me super happy. Yeah, no, that was by far my favorite.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, man, Halloween's fun. I think it's a good time. Everyone has their costume that they see or, you know, that they have, they remember from their childhood that they, like, oh, yeah, that was so much fun. It's just a very imagination-driven fun time, man. Great holiday.
She made me that one, and then she made me a Ninja Turtle costume that was, like, insane. I wish I could find a picture of it, and if I can find one, I'll put it in the show notes. But it was, like, super elaborate. Like, not just, like, I put a bandana around my eye. Like, it had a turtle head, like, that was, like, handmade. Like, could be bought in, like, a professional costume store. It was pretty amazing.
So. Nice.
Yeah, man. Really cool stuff.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the same creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles made Usagi. So, why are you hating on Usagi, huh? Did you know that?
I mean, yeah. Cuz
their first appearance was actually in a Usagi comic. Did you know that?
I could see that.
Yeah.
I think it's probably cuz Usagi's not part of my childhood.
Yeah.
And I'm an adult and I don't want to see samurai bunnies.
For our listeners who don't know, there's this comic book that I love called Usagi.
About a samurai bunny.
It's like a samurai bunny. So it's pretty much in the same universe because the same creator, I'm forgetting his name. I think his name's Stan Sakai. Stan Sakai, he's the maker of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the creator of Usagi. And it's pretty much, I love it. I think it's an awesome comic book. I have like... 20-25 trades of Usagi, and it's pretty great. But yeah, the first appearance of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was in a Usagi comic, so I've always tried Sean to get into it, but he's not having it, so I always give him shit about that because he loves Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles so much. It's only natural that you would like Usagi, right?
Wrong. I guess. Yeah, no, I'll check it out someday. I'll give it a shot. Just out of the love for Ninja Turtles that I have. And another interesting fact, Usagi actually means rabbit in Japanese. So.
Well, there you go.
And is Usagi, what's his name? Usagi Yojimbo?
Yojimbo, yeah. I forget that. Yojimbo means something, has something to do with a samurai, I forget. It's
fascinating.
If you
rabbit bodyguard is what it means.
It's just in a universe like all these animals are like people that like are different races. You know, different races of people are different species of animals. I don't know how to explain that. But yeah, if you're interested in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, go read Usagi. It's a great comic. But anyway, moving on.
Little side tangent for you guys about rabbit.
I'm sorry, we had time, and I thought, you know what, Usagi's dope.
We had
and
we're the talking time, to... and I thought rabbits, probably Bubba.
Usagi, jump up! Usagi, jump up!
All right, so more on our Halloween theme. What were your favorite Halloween or horror films? Like, we've talked about like our favorite Christmas films, the film we have to watch every Christmas. What's like a film that you've seen a ton of times in Halloween?
Well, our listeners know, and you know, I'm not a big scary movie guy, but
pussy.
Pussy. You're such a pussy. I know that there's a scary movie I hated to watch, and my friend Mark made me watch it, but after I watched it, I was like, wow, that was a pretty good story, but I'll never watch that movie again because it scared the hell out of me. Trying to remember the name. It was, God dang it. I'm having a total brain fart right now.
Okay. What was it about?
It was like this kid who got possessed and...
Inception?
No. And they've actually made a couple of them. Oh, God, what is it called? I can't believe I'm forgetting this right now. Just because I'm on the spot, I'm forgetting it. So this kid gets possessed, and then his dad has to, like, go into a dream world to get him out. But then at the end, you find out the dad got his soul was taken, and then the possessed person went in his body and, like, killed a bunch of people, and they didn't know. But he got his son back. God, what was it called? I'll figure it out. Keep going.
Sure. No. I think I know what you're talking about, but... man, what was that called? Now you got me thinking about it. I think it was called Back to the Future?
I think it was Jurassic World.
Jurassic World. Yeah, no. Okay, so I have some films that I have watched for a long time that I love. I have to watch every Halloween. I am, on the other side of Micah, a huge... horror and Halloween film lover. I love all that stuff. I think it's great. I like to get scared. So definitely my top one has to be Monster Squad, which I don't know if you've ever seen that, Micah.
Nope.
It was from 1987, and it's these kids are in a club. It's called Members, like a monster fan club. And one Halloween, some crazy shit happens, and all the universal monsters come to life. So, like, Dracula, Wolfman, Frankenstein, Mummy, Gillman, and they have to fight these guys, basically. So it's like Goonies at Halloween. That's probably the best way you could describe it. So
okay.
I'm going to let you borrow it. It's not scary. It's just a good time, and you're going to love it. So
I looked up that movie, by the way. It's Insidious. Have you ever seen Insidious?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're like on their third or fourth one. I think I've seen them all, actually.
It scared the hell out of me, and I'll never watch it again. But, man, the storyline was actually very intriguing. And the way it was shot, I was like, wow, this is really a really well-done movie. So it was horrifying,
yeah,
though.
Me and my wife watched Insidious 3, like, probably like last weekend, I think.
Do you like the movie?
Yeah. Oh, they're well done, yeah, for sure. No, they do a great job.
Yeah,
no, I like them.
Never again. Couldn't sleep that night.
The other Halloween flick that I always have to watch every Halloween is Trick or Treat. Have you seen that one? No, maybe?
No.
No?
No, I legitimately haven't.
Yeah. So it's basically like... it's like these Halloween stories. It's set in this little town. It's Halloween time. And then it has like these different side stories that all happen that lead to one event. I don't know if you've seen like all the horror stuff that like horror villains, heroes, I don't want to recall like the main characters. There's a little kid with a pumpkin on his head. His name's Sam. He always has like a lollipop in his hand.
He's from Trick or Treat. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it's really good, man. I would definitely say check it out. Not too scary either. It's pretty light. It's got a lot of comedy in it. But yeah, it's definitely a must watch for Halloween. So definitely recommend
it. Like I've seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I've seen Saw, but I don't know if you'd consider Saw like, I mean, it's a horror movie, but I don't know.
No, it's a horror slasher film. For sure.
And I've seen like Freddy vs. Jason. That was cheesy and stupid. That was one that actually did not scare me. Yeah. Freddy vs. Jason.
I saw I saw Nightmare on Elm Street. It was like one of the first scary movies I saw when I was a little kid, and it freaked me out so bad.
Yeah.
But I was a pretty young child when I saw it, so probably too young to have seen it, and I saw it.
Terrifying. Even now, it's terrifying.
Or like Chucky, all that stuff growing
up. Yeah, I never got into Chucky. Like, it didn't even really scare me. I was just like...
Well, I mean, you probably watched it after you were an adult, so...
That's true, and if I was a kid, I would have been terrified, but like...
I watched it when I was like 8, so...
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
And I think... And we had like some aunt or something gave us like a, it was called Corky. So it was like a curly headed version of Chucky. And it was like a real doll. I made my mom throw it away. I cried until she did. Because I was a little kid and it freaked me out. So
I wish I knew you back then and I could have just got out of the trash and like sneak over to your house. And then I'd like.
You'd have been too scared. It would have been dark out. Yeah. No, man. There are a lot of great movies. Halloween's always been a fun time. I've always enjoyed it. It's just a good time, man.
And if you're a listener, why don't you tweet at us your favorite horror movie? We would love we'd love to know what your guys' favorite was. One that we didn't mention, which we didn't mention like 100 million, but we're just telling you ours that we enjoyed or was memorable for us. But let us know. Hit us up on Twitter. But Sean. So I had a great question this week. It came to me like in the middle of the week. I was like, I have to use that question in the show. So I'll ask you first and then I'll answer. But would you rather have all the powers of the Marvel and DC universe combined, or would you rather have all those powers and be a villain with those powers?
That's a stupid question.
It's a stupid question.
Why would I want to be a villain?
Because being a villain's fun. Being bad's fun.
You're a sociopath.
Okay, let's say this. Okay, so would you rather have all the powers of the Marvel and DC universe combined and use them only in the DC universe, or would you rather use them in the Marvel universe?
Your questions are dumb this week, dude.
Oh, I want to stab you. I was really excited for this. I don't know why you're not.
Those are awful questions, man. Would you rather have all of the powers of the Marvel universe combined or all of the powers of the DC universe combined?
That's stupid.
That's a way better question.
Could you imagine
be a supervillain or a superhero?
I would rather be a supervillain. I thought with all those powers, like of Marvel and DC terrifying. Combined. Yeah. Watch your back. I'm going to be a powerful little Usagi bunny with all my powers.
That's my Halloween nightmare.
Well, I'm sorry to Sean and listeners. I shit the bed with the question this week.
Big
but
time.
I would rather have all the DC just because I'm a DC snob.
Yeah, I mean, you just have Superman alone. I mean, you pretty much win any battle.
If we're talking to like a Marvel staunch fan, he'd be like, Thor could beat Superman.
No, he couldn't.
I know he couldn't, but I'm just saying there is definitely arguments.
Yeah. But if you take like Superman plus all the other DC characters, I don't know. That's the reason I don't like Superman is because he's basically invincible. Unless you have a Green Rock, then he's not.
Right. But even I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but they're all like similar. Like Iron Man is kind of Batman, you know, in the Marvel universe, I would say. But Batman would destroy Tony Stark. Like it wouldn't even be a competition.
Here's a good question for you. If you had an unlimited amount of money and resource and your fiance came up to you and said, we got to go to this Halloween party. It's in 2 days. You have all this money, all this resource. You had to pick a superhero or supervillain or whatever, somebody from either Marvel or DC to dress up as. Who would you pick as your costume?
And it'd be a villain?
Could be a villain, could be a good guy, whatever. Anybody from Marvel or DC.
Mm, I don't know. You're putting me on the spot here. Do you know who you'd be?
Oh, man, that would be a tough one.
Batman's too easy. I don't want to go as Batman.
Yeah, but if you had all the money and all the resources, you could, like, build me a Batmobile to go with my costume.
That's true.
And you could be Batman, like, have, like, a grappling hook and batarangs and all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, I'd probably go as Batman or Nightwing.
Yeah, Nightwing would really be lame. That's like a leotard.
Hey, go fuck yourself. What are you talking about? He has pretty much the same suit as Batman. I mean, it's...
Make me some tights and like a bow staff and we'll call it good.
Oh my God. He doesn't even use a bow staff. He uses those like nunchuck stick things. He doesn't use a bow staff.
Fighting sticks.
Yeah. Why are you ragging on Nightwing?
Just because that was a dumb answer.
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you? Well, folks, thanks for joining us on another week.
No, but seriously, we are out of time.
Yeah, we are out of time. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Sorry if this week's episode wasn't fun.
It was Sean's fault.
It was all Micah's fault. That last question just killed the show. So, no, but seriously, guys, we appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope you guys have a great Halloween, or you had a great Halloween, actually. And if you want to reach out to us and you have questions or comments and you want to hear them read on the show, you can shoot those to us at 5280nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter, and you can reach Mike at
Vash0077. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. 5 stars really helps us move up in the ranks. It only takes a couple seconds. If you do that, we would really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks so much. Later, guys.
All right, all right, all right. We had the time, and I thought rabbits, probably mama.
You saw I could jump up.
Pussy.